Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Hi, Boog.
We're a very important radio show, you know?
Yeah, you are. So very important.
I mean, do people have any idea?
That was my sincerity there. You want me another reading of that?
Yeah, I'm
going to count you down, okay?
In three, two, one. So very important.
Oh, perfect. That feels nice.
Yeah.
Afternoons on the Score.
Cubs trail 3-1. Eighth inning, two down, a runner at first. And the 2-1. Tucker rolls one to the right side, fielded by Terang over to first. In time, inning over. No runs, no hits, a walk, and a man left.
Speaks, we both love baseball. I had a thought as we were talking about all this stuff as it pertains to the Cubs. Before we get into our Kyle Tucker discussion, isn't it also just a little weird to have your season end on a Saturday night?
Yeah, in terms of processing. For sure.
And I don't even mean for what we do, it's always weird, right? Because we're waiting until Monday to talk about it. But just as a fan, like Saturday night seems like such a weird night to have your season end.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And then if you're taking in sports yesterday, you're having kind of an odd sort of
hangover.
A little hangover, some apathy going on with the football until it gets you into it, if it's good enough to get you into it. And the baseball keeps going. I thought, unsurprisingly, our guy Nico after the game was poignant, saying that, you know, it's a weird thing when you feel good and you feel like you have so much more to give and you've been doing nothing but preparing for 7 months and now there's no next thing. All of a sudden, it stings.
And to get, you have to wait until you get all the way back here. You know, like that's the hard part of being a really good team that doesn't win, when you have to go, damn, like we have to go through that entire thing again.
If we're going to try and better ourselves and get some of this stink away, we're going to have to just get here in the first place. Imagine being a Phillies fan when they get this far time after time after time after time and don't get past it and then have a really nice season. I mean, that part sounds good. That part sounds fun.
Sounds really good.
So look, overall, I'm left feeling like the Kyle Tucker experience in terms of our taking it in.
Our rubric was NLC championship. They were one game away from that.
And they didn't get there.
They didn't.
And he had an at-bat that is in a spot where it's supposed to be him. I had a friend text me, this is what you traded Cam Smith for. This at bat is what you traded Cam Smith for.
It is.
And you had him up in that sixth. Yes, against the lefty throw in 98, but he worked that count to get it to 3-1. And it's crazy to think of your overall experience
boiled down to one at bat.
So I won't. I'll also think about the injury and the awkwardness with the injury and the leaving.
And the stuff before that, though, where he was an MVP candidate
for
4 months out of the season.
Uh-huh. But then the postseason failure, as it coincides with previous postseason failures in Houston, where he wasn't always great. Like, I'm overall, it's obviously a net positive effect on your season. But in terms of the experience as an observer, I'm left with kind of a negative experience. Like, I'm not somebody who's going to argue to throw $400 million at that guy. In the middle of the year, I was arguing to throw $600 million at that guy. But
I can't convince you if tomorrow they're like, hey, $400 million, we got a deal done for 10 years.
I don't know, man. I really don't like the way he plays right field.
I don't either.
I really don't like the way he plays right field. I don't.
Which is weird because he's got a gold glove. But that right field that he got the gold glove in is very different than the one he's playing in now.
Yeah. So there's that part of it. And then there's just the truism about this particular org is not going to spend $400 million on him and then also spend $300 million on somebody else, then also spend another $250 on, like, they're not. So is this guy worth it? I mean, you keep coming back down to that on which star is worth it, if a star is indeed worth it. But I watched a year of him and I don't have the feeling that I had in the first half, and I'm not going to be sitting here advocating for them to go get him at all costs. I'm not.
Might you be better off with some combination of Kyle Schwarber and a starting pitcher?
I think you're certainly better off with a starting pitcher of consequence who misses bats. I think that's what you have to use that money on. If I told you that right field slash DH next year, okay, was going to be Seiya Suzuki, Owen Casey, and Moises Ballesteros, that those three guys,
they're going to rotate between DH and right field,
yep,
for you?
And Ballesteros won't play out there, but he'll DH a lot. And when he doesn't DH, and if it has to be Seiya, then Casey's out there. Or maybe it's Casey sometimes and Seiya's out there. If I told you those three guys get right field DH and you use money
to go get a third baseman
for real on some other stuff, maybe it's a third baseman. Bregman's going to opt out. You could go down that road again if you want. Or it's certainly a power starting pitcher to help with your starting pitching, especially come playoff time.
You give Suarez some money?
Robert Suarez?
Eugenio Suarez.
Has a couple Suarez's. Because the Padres closer, he's a free agent too, right? I think about both those guys. I do. I think about both. Because they got a lot of free agents in the bullpen. But, hey man, Operation hashtag Wu King Tuck.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. It's over. I mean,
are you going to change your mind if they sign him? Like, are you back all in if they sign him? What if I told you it was $350 million? Does that change things for you? Is it a matter of dollars? Or is it a matter of you got a whole year of the player and you don't like the player as much as you thought?
I thought I was going to like the player a lot more. And
that's fair.
That's just where I am right now. That I thought I was going to like the player an awful lot more.
I mean, we can do like a really unscientific thing, but whether it's people inside of the stream or on YouTube or folks that want to text us, are you in a similar place to Speaks about Kyle Tucker? Like, or is this something that we need to put? Should we put a cork in this for like a week?
Because of the feelings of the moment?
Yeah, like have a cooling off period and then really discuss the Kyle Tucker thing?
It's a good question. We'll certainly have time to do it. Let's do that. Let's do that and find another time. But that's where I am. And as you know, those feelings kind of changed a little bit. But here's the other thing that's part of it.
No, the evolution of the feelings on Kyle Tucker makes sense, Speaks.
And he's just not that into being here, it seems. The way that thing feels.
I don't know if I want to go that far.
Oh, dude.
I do think that there is some mercenary to him.
Yes.
And I don't begrudge him that, because if I were in the same position that he was, you might want to take a look around and see what's out there. What feels better? What are the months of April and May? Where do you want to be? The months of September and October? Like, yeah. Where do you want to be?
I hear you, man. But like, but that was part of Operation hashtag Wu King Tuck, awkwardly named, was like, hey, let's have him fall in love. And we celebrated moments when like, oh, look, he's got a nephew that sings the song at the end of games. All right, maybe he's fallen for it. Maybe he's been to a restaurant. Remember?
He likes food.
What was it? Which place was it? It was Babette's, right?
Yeah, Babette's.
So, yeah, it's like, But really, then when it comes down to it, at the very end, they say, hey, you want to be here? And he's like,
Is it your wish, if it can happen, that you'll return here and maybe stay in Chicago a long time?
We'll see what happens. I don't know what the future is going to hold, but, if not, it's, an honor playing with all these guys, and I wish everyone the best of luck, whether it's, playing next year or not, for them, and, it's a really fun group to be a part of.
We'll see what happens.
That wasn't a ringing endorsement of staying a part of the team.
But he hasn't been about that all year. He doesn't ringingly endorse much.
But as a free agent, you owe it to yourself to look around. And you can come back and you can be like, okay, I listened to the Yankees and I listened to Boston and I listened to the Angels and all this other stuff. I'm like, I kind of like it here, and there's some unfinished business. It's still possible to happen.
Sure.
But I would never thought that he was going to extend during. It didn't make a lot of sense from his perspective to do it unless it was all the money.
You could be spiking the ball lot harder.
No,
if you want. I've had teammates who really enjoyed this moment of spiking the ball.
I understood why.
I'm not going to name names.
I understood why you felt the way you did about trying to get him to fall in love. It's just that I use my own experience, as a free agent, or pending free agent. You owe it to yourself to at least go look. And then you go,
for sure.
You know what I like? I like right there where I'm at.
Well, sure. But the other thing is the way that ballpark is playing with the wind and such, that could be a factor in there too.
Yeah. Taxes. There's all sorts of stuff that you have to think through. Where your family's most comfortable, where you're close to other family members. There's a lot.
I just really need to see an investment with the money that I thought was going to be held on to use on Tucker. You fell short on Bregman, and then here comes Tucker, but now if it's not going to be Tucker, and again, I'm fine with that, then show me some investment in some pieces that you do think will get you over the top.
I think a reunion with Kyle Schwarber would make Cubs fans feel a lot better.
Put Ian Happ in right field?
Sure. That's fine. Do what you need to do.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Craig, in general, it seemed like you guys didn't put a lot of pressure on there, but then in the sixth inning, it seemed like the game. You had your key guys up with two men on and no outs and couldn't get the big hit. It seemed like that was the theme, not getting the big hit in general this series.
Yeah, I mean, we had six base runners tonight. So, you know, if you take Seiya's homer and then those two, that's, you know, that's half our base runners. So that was the inning. That was the inning with the middle of the lineup up. You know, Ashby made a pretty darn good pitch, 3-2 to Tucker. You know, right, looked like a right down and away on the corner. It was a nasty pitch. You know, Seiya had a good at-bat against Patrick for sure. Had good at-bats all night, Seiya did. And then, you know, they got out of it, essentially. They had a chance to get out of it. But that, I agree, I mean, that's really the only inning you could talk about. We just didn't do much. We had, you know, six base runners. You know, you're going to have to hit homers to have any runs scoring in scenarios like that. So they pitched very well. I mean, they pitched super well. You know, the only inning that we really disrupted maybe the plan was the sixth. The rest of the game, they did a heck of a job.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
The Cubs season is over, but there's still a lot of stuff that needs to be sorted out. So we thought that we would call our friend Sahadev Sharma, who covers the Cubs for The Athletic, to help us work through some of that. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Sahadev, thanks so much for joining us. I'd love to know, from the perspective of someone who covers this team every single day and has seen the rivalry between the Cubs and the Brewers grow, what was it like for you to kind of watch the way that both the team and the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin celebrated Saturday's win?
I mean, you know, the victors get to do what they want, right? They won the game. They get to celebrate the way they want. I'm sure fans of the Cubs would have rubbed it in their own way if they had won. I mean, a lot of people are bothered by the L flag, them waving that. Look, when the Blue Jays beat the Yankees, there was a lot of taunting with the Yankees. I think when you're the bigger market, the bigger team, you're going to suffer these types of things when you lose. That's just what happens. And you don't want it to happen. Go out there and win the game, I guess.
You've done a very nice job breaking down the series and breaking down what happened. And that Q&A was right there. That sixth inning with first and second, nobody out, and 3-4-5 coming up. They had seven at-bats all series, Sahadev, with men in scoring position. Only seven. And it's like, what is the response to that in an off season? To go out and get more bop or go out and get more contact like Nico? What's the response to what happened here, offensively speaking, in your mind?
I think it was seven in the three losses.
Okay.
I think. But still, that's a great point. They weren't creating enough opportunities in those losses. In general, when they did have the opportunities in the postseason, they didn't get very many big hits. Like, even when they had the opportunities in game, what was that, 3 and 4 that they won, they got enough. Obviously, they won those games, but some of those games should have been more lopsided than they were. I think that is the story of the playoffs in general, not for the Cubs, but baseball. Go look around, and it's hard to score. You want to throw as many different looks at the opposition, shut them down with your pitching. You don't always need Tarek Skubal to win a series. You can do it with, like the Brewers did. I really thought when Freddie Peralta lost game four, that swung kind of favor in the Cubs' favor. It didn't work out because they just, their relievers got the job done over and over again. And for me, what swung the series were games one and two. The pitching wasn't good enough for the Cubs. So do they need to do something with the offense? Because in all likelihood, Kyle Tucker goes elsewhere. So what you can't just say, let the kids play and hope that you're an above average offense. That's going to be hard to pull off. Is it Alex Bregman? Do you revisit that situation? Is it a trade that, you know, we can't really foresee right now at this point, and maybe a month and a half from now it becomes a little clearer what they may do? Is it Kyle Schwarber? I'd be very surprised by that. I think fans would love that. I think he'd be a great great guy in the clubhouse and a nice power bat. I'd be surprised by it, like I said. I think you have to add pitching, starters, relievers, a lot of power pitching, a lot of strikeouts. Try and get as much as you can, and then you really ride that in the postseason. Depth, you don't need the 7, 8, 9 inning starter anymore. It's just a different ball game in the postseason. You got to find a way to get there. So that's why you need to make sure the offense doesn't drop off too far. But I really think pitching should be the focus in the offseason.
How would you describe Kyle Tucker's year in a Cubs uniform?
Yeah, uneven. You know, a tale of two halves, I guess. First half, everybody was, you know, ready to extend him and give him a lifetime deal, give him all the money. I don't hear any calls among baseball that he's going to get anything close to what Vlad Guerrero got. You know, some people are suggesting maybe it's more in like the 250, just below 300 range now. I think there's a good chance he probably ends up in 300. Maybe not a slam dunk of that, but it just depends where he ends up and who's willing to pony it up. But it's so much less than what you expected. He was really productive offensively in the first half, and I think those numbers are really impressive. I think when you watch his at-bats in the playoffs, you can see that, you know, he's got a plan up there. He's a really good hitter. He doesn't chase that often. The lingering memory is going to be that at-bat against Ashby in Game 5, though. And as unfair as that is, that's just how baseball works. He's the big name, came up in a big spot, and he didn't come through. That was a nasty pitch to strike him out, but he had a pitch right before it that, you know, one could argue that he should have hit. It's a tough pitch. It's almost 100 mile per hour pitch. You know, great movement on it. Like that's not an easy pitch to hit, but it's also his job to hit that pitch.
Sahadev Sharma, I think you spoke very well to the pitching needs, and it is rotation. But in the postseason, it's having those rotation guys who can do whatever the hell they need to do, like Mizorowski just did, or like, yeah, you know, like Trey Savage is going to try and do tonight for Toronto, et cetera. It's like just like Logan Gilbert did the other night. You just need a big pile of those guys. So looking at the free agent market and the trade market, are they out there? Because you got Boyd and Jameson Taillon both here and under contract. Hopefully Justin Steele back. Obviously Cade Horton back. Shota Imanaga is a conversation. Colin Ray is a conversation. What's the angle to add that elite arm who can hopefully be a starter during the season and maybe a bullpen guy as needed in the postseason?
Yeah, I think you look at every angle, like whether it's trade, free agency, international free agency, there's a possibility. We don't know who's going to be posted, but there's at least one big Japanese arm that could be coming stateside. I believe Framber Valdez and Dylan Cease are probably the two biggest names in free agency. And then trade market, do the Twins start selling off more pieces and Joe Ryan gets moved? If so, I think he'd be number one on a list of like guys who should target in the trade market. He's got the right peripherals, and then you put him in front of the Cubs defense. That's a huge upgrade from Minnesota, and you know that's a really impactful starter, and I think it changes a lot. Right now it's kind of speculation. The names will crystallize a little bit more in the next in the coming weeks. We'll have a better idea, but. I think, you know, they have to go out there, be aggressive. They look at it as that's the area where they can improve them, where it's easiest to improve, I guess, is probably the way to say it. You can improve everywhere, right? But how do you, if you go and upgrade the defense, how exactly are you doing that, right? That's not an area where you can get huge gains. This is a really good defensive team. They can get huge gains. in the pitching, especially with strikeouts. They're not a strikeout-oriented team.
Is there a something developmental, like a large scheme in Jed Hoyer's belief system that keeps them from having the kind of big strikeout arms that other teams do? I mean, you know, dead last in average velocity on the big league level for each one of the last 5 years. That's striking to me.
Yeah, so developmentally, I think they develop pitchers well. I think they should need to do a little bit better job identifying pitchers in the draft. As far as like who they target in free agency, I think the simple answer is strikeouts cost more money. So they're looking in areas. And Matthew Boyd was a decent strikeout pitcher, not elite by any means. Cade Horton will develop into a strikeout pitcher, I believe. If you look at, you know, maybe his last 10 starts, the strikeout numbers are significantly better than where it was in his first 10 starts. Justin Steele will add strikeouts to the rotation. But I think the big issue is it costs more money. It's harder to get in free agency or trade. So that means you end up leaning on, and it's smart. They built this elite defense so they can get away with it. It's a little harder in the playoffs because the randomness of contact can cause a little havoc in a shorter series. That's just the reality of baseball. I think, you know, purely developmentally, I don't think they're saying we don't need to develop strikeouts. I think they have done a better job at developing pitching. It really is like I'd like to see them identify better pitchers in the draft. International free agency is really hard as well. You never know, when you're like signing a teenage kid, you just never know. Pitching is really hard to develop in international free agency, but that's another area where they could probably improve.
With Ben Brown, have they now figured out, okay, not a starter, but to speak to Spiegs' point, that's the profile of a guy that a high leverage reliever looks like? Have they figured out the development track for him?
That's a good question. I don't know what they go into next season thinking with him. What's the offseason plan? I think they're probably having these meetings right now, these exit meetings, and that's probably a topic of discussion with him. Here's your plan. Here's what we're going to do. Imagine if he had, you know, he didn't need to be a starter, but if he could eat, if he was developed as a starter this season and gave them at least 3-4 innings in the playoffs like Mizorowski did, that's completely changes the complexion of games. The way his potential, what he can do in short bursts, I think is very tantalizing. Right now with him, I think it's you look at the peripherals, you'd say that's a very good pitcher. He struggles with missing barrels. He'll strike a bunch of guys out. He won't walk a bunch of guys, and then suddenly he'll give up 4 or 5 hard contact balls in a row, and I think he kind of spirals out there too. He's been open about like he struggles to kind of gather himself out there when things go bad or he overthinks the moment. So I think there's a mental factor with him, and he just needs to. If he can figure that out, I do think he's almost someone that's almost forgotten with the group, but he's clearly someone that has big stuff.
Sahat, as you mentioned, they're probably having their post-mortem conversations, and at some point Jed will come out and speak. What interests you from what he might have to say, either organizationally or with the coaching staff? What do you suspect will be the news, if any, as he talks with you guys?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the obvious stuff is Kyle Tucker. He's not going to give us a straight answer right away. I'm curious, one thing is does he feel like what was missing from the offense? What happened with the offense? Because we saw this again where it kind of fractured towards the end of the season. It was high-powered at one point, looked like the best in baseball, and kind of struggled down, you know, maybe post-All-Star break. Maybe the simple answer was Kyle Tucker wasn't himself, and Pete Armstrong's a young kid who is going to have ups and downs, and maybe it's just as simple as that. Still, how do you address that? What needs to be corrected? What are you looking for this offseason? And then like get some clarity on how they plan to attack the pitching. I think I think that will be their priority. Just from what I've gathered leading up to the offseason, I'd like to hear how he looks at it and what a plan may be to address that. I'd be surprised if there's major changes, coaching staff-wise, unless someone gets poached, which is very possible. I think Ryan Flaherty is up for a couple jobs. We'll know more about that as more news comes out. I haven't fully confirmed that, but I would assume he's a candidate for a couple of those managing jobs. And then and if that happens, then obviously changes will occur, and we'll see how that falls out.
Sahada, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the coverage all season long.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
I think Kyle, I think he's he had a good experience here for sure. I think that certainly, I think he enjoyed playing in Chicago, and I think that Wrigley and our fans made a huge impact. I think that he's earned the right to not only be a free agent, but to be a coveted free agent. And so, like I said, I know that when we were sort of at our best, he played exceptionally well.
Yes, Jed Hoyer is right. When the Cubs were playing well, so was Kyle Tucker. And then the second half of the season happened. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And Jed Hoyer spoke for almost an hour yesterday, giving his annual end of the season press conference. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to figure out when we can actually grade with any sort of understanding the Kyle Tucker trade. I always wanted to do it during the season. It never really works out. Sometimes these things take years to figure out. But after hearing what Jed Hoyer has to say, with the understanding that he established Kyle Tucker is going to use his free agency to his advantage, he's earned that opportunity that other teams are going to be after him. Then we hear the news that Cam Smith of the now Astros got nominated for a Gold Glove, playing in the outfield, no less. And you start to realize, maybe finally, this is the time now that the season is over and you heard the GM talk about at least his preliminary thoughts on what might happen with Kyle Tucker. It's time to grade the trade.
The air is cleared. The dust has proverbially settled
on both the teams that were involved in said trade. The Astros didn't even make it to the postseason. The Cubs did. They got to their 90-plus wins. They got in as a wild card team. They won their wild card series. They lost in the NLDS. And so, yeah, I think it's been long enough, and we're far enough removed from the end of the season to try to evaluate what we believe to be true about this trade. And Layla, for me, I'm going to start with the grade. I'll just leave it there. You tell me what you think. I'm going to give the trade itself the grade of B+. That's what I'm going to give it. And I give it the trade a grade of B+ because ultimately Kyle Tucker's acquisition led to the Cubs getting back to the playoffs and winning a playoff series and falling in a game 5 against the Brewers in the NLDS. And even though Kyle Tucker wasn't healthy the whole season, his impact cannot be denied.
That's it. Yeah, his impact cannot be denied because I think his success, especially in the first half of the season before he got injured, is the reason the Cubs made the playoffs largely. They did have an issue with scoring runs previous to that. They did have an issue with manufacturing hits even, and we've seen that rear its ugly head. They ended up being 11th in baseball in hits produced, but 5th in runs scored. I say all of that to say, Cam Smith, as soon as he was drafted, he was talked about in a way by evaluators and by scouts alike and by people who cover other teams and people who work for other teams. Like, it was a slam dunk of a acquisition that he could be the Cubs' third baseman of the future. And people knew that even knowing Matt Shaw was waiting in the wings. And Matt Shaw, of course, was the Cubs' highest-ranked prospect at the time. You had the feeling that one of those was going to go based on the fact that there might be a logjam, you know, waiting to see if somebody gets stuck in the minors while somebody else gets brought up. The Astros asked for Smith. They asked for Isaac Paredes, who ended up having an all-star season before he got injured. That's something the Cubs weren't able to unlock with Paredes, as we know. And they also got pitching in the deal in Hayden Wisniewski, who's actually from the Houston area, so I imagine that made an even bigger difference to the Astros in acquiring him. It's three big players, one established big league talent, and somebody who already showed you that even though the hits indicate that his rookie season wasn't as successful as he might have wanted with a .236 average, that glove is there, and Baseball Savant still is very confident, I think, in Cam Smith just being able to, the tools are there. You know, he's got a high ranking when it comes to bat speed, for example, and when he gets a hold of one, you know, that's something that they want to see. Just like Matt Shaw, you can't grade Cam Smith's offensive performance yet. You can't do it, but you can understand the years of the control that factor in. So I say all of that to say, if they don't sign Kyle Tucker, and they didn't win the division, unfortunately, I might have to give it a C+ until I have some more information. You basically traded everybody for a half a season of Kyle Tucker. And you said yourself in the press conference that you knew the market was incredibly tight when it came to needing acquisitions at the trade deadline. That wasn't a secret. It was similar to the year before. And if you know that, then you knew how much value those individuals had in any particular trade. Did Kyle Tucker help get you there? Yes. But the risk you run when you trade for somebody with 1 year left, the rental piece, is that they might get injured. And that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but here's why I lean into that B+, because, yeah, anybody can get injured. Like, Hayden Wisniewski got injured.
Michael Soroka got injured, and they traded for him, too.
Well, I think that's a different situation, because apparently they didn't do their due diligence in scouting him pre-trade.
But they claimed they knew that his velocity had dipped before they traded for him.
Why would you? I guess they figured their pitching lab in less than half a season could fix him and have him be a valuable member of a playoff run. That did not pan out. I don't understand how that logic pans out. What you're saying, if you knew about the problem,
they hoped he would be okay. They didn't think they had to do. You medicals are part of a trade, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Last I checked, the hoping and wishing, though, we talk about casting all the time. I look at it like this. I know people are upset because they're worried about what Cam Smith could become, but that's every time you make a trade. I think the bigger part of this is
that's what the price of years of control is.
Yes.
And yeah, I know this is a good point. 847 gain. Cam Smith's war is 1.9. It's not about this year.
No.
You're not grading Matt Shaw in this year. You know, it's the same idea.
Well, it's an even more extreme idea when you consider that Cam Smith, his first full year of professional baseball was 2025. He got drafted in 2024.
Yeah, he didn't have the minor league ramp up that Matt Shaw did.
Exactly. And so
taking that in effect, if it's Cam Smith or Matt Shaw, who would you rather give up? I guess that's part of the question, right?
Well, that's what GMs do.
Because Shaw was the highest ranked guy.
And for Matt Shaw to go, it had to have been something like a Kyle Tucker with years of control. Like that's the other part. Like it's time factors in here. Time has such a big value. And I understand that there are people who want to say, like, I can't grade this until we know where he's signing. Because if he signs with the Cubs, and if the Cubs get a healthy year of Kyle Tucker...
How does that change your grade?
Big time.
Would it be an A?
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Paredes got injured, yes. And prior to that, he was an all-star. Like, this isn't hard to figure out.
But that's why I can't let the whole half a season of Kyle Tucker be something that affects what grade I'm actually giving the trade itself. The trade itself led to the Cubs getting to the playoffs. And that was the stated goal. Jed Hoyer in a contract year of his own, where he didn't know if he was going to be back beyond 2025, pulled the trigger on a deal that made sense. And I would one of the you know, one question that I would love to ask Jed Hoyer and get an honest answer from is, when you made the trade for Kyle Tucker, what was your reasonable expectation that he'd be playing for the Cubs for more than 1 year?
Because clearly GMs do this. It's not like they think nobody's getting injured. And that's why I say, like, they, you know, they probably did the due diligence, you know, regarding the risk reward on Soroka, for example, knowing that that might be a possibility. And that's why I think sometimes when you buy the dip on people, it bites you in the keister. So in this case, I feel like you knew that that was a possibility. Kyle Tucker had injury issues the season before, different injury. It's clearly not a broken hand or a broken finger like we found out. But at the end of the day, they traded him for production for this year. So you have to grade it somewhat on the year you've just had.
We are talking about the Kyle Tucker trade, and what grade would you give it? Layla comes in with a C+. I come in with a B+. And 847 on the text line, I grade the trade a C+. If you quote unquote go for it, you have to make the World Series. I'd give a B if they made it to the NLCS. That's Booze Slinger Dave.
Booze Slinger.
I like a Booze Slinger. Listen. Here's why I disagree with that assessment. You still got to face the Dodgers. And so...
But that's the point. You still had to face the Brewers in your own division. You didn't even win your own division.
I get that part, but I look at it like this. There were injuries that factored in, not just the Kyle Tucker injury, but the Cade Horton when we're talking about the playoffs themselves.
The pitching staff, Justin Steele.
So and everybody has injuries. I'm not saying that, but these are things that you can't necessarily control. So you have to say, do we have enough depth? Which I didn't think they had enough depth from a hitting standpoint, by the way. So when Kyle Tucker did go through his slump because of the finger, I was like, well, where are the other bats? Like, when the Dodgers have someone get hurt, they just put in another bat.
It's ridiculous.
And if the Cubs' payroll and their depth match the Dodgers' payroll, then yes, World Series would be the expectation. I never expected the Cubs to say, go to the World Series. Like, they should be in the World Series. I said they should present a challenge to be able to get to the World Series if things fall their way.
When they made that trade, and it's really hard to look back at it now with the same understanding of what the expectation was because of how badly he was injured. But when Jed's talking about totality, and not even that he was badly injured, just that he didn't produce well when he was, and that's a big issue too. But when Jed's talking about the totality and all of that, he's talking about the first half of the season. He's talking about what they were able to do when they mowed down the NL West, when they were able to have a wildly successful April and May. And then we saw the 500 record in June, and that wasn't Kyle Tucker's fault necessarily. But the point of all of this is the more good players you have, the more they make up for others. It's a continuous body. Not everybody slumps at the same time, for example. And he did lift the team up. There's no doubt about that. That's what a player of his caliber does. However, when you don't do more around him, you run that risk. I think Jed Hoyer spent with what he had and what he was able to do. But at the end of the day, this is the risk you run when you have a rental and when you didn't have enough surrounding him. Yeah, is it a Chris Bryant and Colorado Rockies situation? No. There's more talent around Kyle Tucker than that, but even Cubs fans got used to not having him. You know, even all of us got used to not seeing him on the field or not being able to produce. in any moment in these at-bats in the playoffs, did you confidently, like even with the same amount of confidence with what you saw Caleb Williams do, when you knew if he got the ball in the fourth quarter, like the way the Bears did on Monday night, I was like, ah, they've got this. They've done it before. I had that much confidence in the team going down the field. That was going to be a possibility. I did not have the same confidence getting to see Kyle Tucker at bats during the postseason.
So you brought up the T word, which I told you is even after, 24 hours of hearing it, it triggers me.
Totality,
right? And the reason why he has to use totality is because before the All-Star break, only the Dodgers scored more runs than the Cubs. Do you know how many teams scored more runs than the Cubs after the All-Star break?
Many. Weren't they Midland?
I don't think it's Midland because there's 30 teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they score the 20th most runs in baseball, since the All-Star break.
That's the lower third.
That's why you bring up totality. And I'm just like, you're ignoring what happened down the stretch. And I know all 162 games count one out of 162, although the division games count for more, obviously. But if you're going into the playoffs and you're not churning on all cylinders, like let me put it like this: after the All-Star break, Layla, I'm going to tell you the top five teams in runs scored. Okay, and you'll tell me what do they have in common. You ready? Number one was the Blue Jays. They're still playing baseball, right?
They're mashing home runs. They're hitting bangers out there.
Number two, the Brewers. Enough said.
Well, they hit enough home runs in the series before and they got enough runs scored.
Number three, the Yankees. They were in the playoffs, correct?
Yeah, they were, but they exited sooner than the Cubs did.
Yes, because they ran into a buzzsaw in the Blue Jays. The Mets are tied for fourth with the Phillies. One of those teams got into the playoffs. One of those teams did not. But they were all there to the very, very bitter end. You got to be able to score runs. And if you look at the other teams remaining in the playoffs right now, that's the Mariners. The Mariners, by the way, 10th in runs scored after the All-Star break. And so I look at this to say, I think the Dodgers and the Mariners and the Blue Jays and the Brewers, if I told you at the end of the regular season those would be the final four in baseball, I don't think any of us would have blinked an eye, right? We wouldn't have flinched. We've been like, okay, I can see it. That makes sense.
I want you to read the top text on the text line. You tell me if we talked about that in our meeting today.
Is this the 224?
No, it's 847.
847.
Page.
Oh, yeah. We definitely talked about this. Jed never spent the Bellinger money. It's a point of conflict for me because here's why. I was under the belief that when they traded Bellinger, they would spend that money on something that would help specifically the offense or at worst, a high-powered arm for your starting rotation, like a dude throwing 99-plus in your rotation. It never gets spent. The lack of depth in the offense comes to fruition, and I'm like, why didn't they just keep Bellinger? Oh, well, where are you going to play? It's Craig Counsell's job. That's why you're paying him $8 million a year to figure out where to play people. And you need different guys at different times. If somebody gets 500 plate appearances versus 600 plate appearances, I don't think any of us are complaining if the offense doesn't slump the way it did in the second half.
We certainly aren't. The only people complaining in that case are agents and roster bonuses and plate appearance bonus people. I think the other issue is with all of this, there's some cognitive dissonance here. Like, for example, don't talk to me about finding room for people when you platoon your hottest hitter and wouldn't even let him start a game in the NLDS.
Ooh, that's great.
Right?
Michael Bush and I.
Don't tell me about trying to figure out where people play because your GM and your manager want to make sure people get at bats.
And I'm sure it was an organizational decision. Hold on, let me throw my air quotes up. Organizational decision not to start Michael Bush against lefties. I know he didn't play as well against lefties the first half of the season, but my point is just run him out there. When your offense is actually hot, just get him out there, get him looks. And we saw what he did in the postseason. He was fine against lefties in the postseason.
Yes, he was. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And then additionally, maybe the money did go back to the team in the form of a Ryan Pressly acquisition, which was also a trade with the Astros. And they did the right thing by letting him go when they realized that it was time. But that was still a lot of money.
You could argue they didn't do the right thing by making the trade to begin with to get Ryan Pressly.
It's getting to the point to me where I'm starting to raise an eyebrow when the Astros don't want somebody anymore.
just because of what happens to those players after they leave?
They're in the top 10 in payroll in baseball. It's not like they're afraid to pay people.
They don't want to pay aging guys or guys. They don't want to be too late. They don't want to. It's always better to get rid of someone earlier than later.
And granted, they've done it before. You know, Correa famously leaves in free agency. He came back to the team via trade this year. Or, for example, George Springer left. You know, he's part of that Blue Jays hit parade.
Probably not a better hitter in the second half in baseball than George Springer.
It certainly doesn't get enough credit for what he's doing. So the Astros will part with people, and they still have a lot of good years left, is my point. However, when I consider like the Cubs-Astros path has not been ideal. Tucker was injured. Hector Neris didn't work out in a way that was positive. Ryan Pressly didn't work out in the way we thought. And the thing about Ryan Pressly, too, is his postseason ERA difference was a big deal, and we didn't get to see him play in the postseason. Yeah, not that I think we would have waited to see that.
I would have trusted him about as much as I trusted Shota Imanaga. So there, you have that.
Well, and that's another thing, too. What we said, and I'll just let you guys know because we have a couple of seconds, because it's always good to marinate on something as a team. I think we all decided that what we heard out of Jed Hoyer assessing Shota Imanaga sounded a little more, I don't know, there was more fidelity to it after I slept on it than when I heard it live.
I'm as certain that Shota Imanaga will be in the Cubs rotation as I am that Kyle Tucker will not be in their lineup. Take with that with what you will. Do with that what you will.
I will write that down because that's something we have to readdress. And listen, here's the thing. If the Cubs replace Kyle Tucker's bat with a comparable bat, holy mother of holy, that would be amazing. We would have a lot of fun with that, and we would give everybody all the flowers in the world. If they re-sign Kyle Tucker, I would love to see Kyle Tucker with a full healthy season here. That would be whiz-bang fantastic.
Are you being optimistic or pragmatic, though, when you say those things?
Fair. I'm being fair.
I'm saying that the likelihood of those things happening.
I don't know.
The comparable bat.
I don't do the predictions as much as you do. But I also believe that the market is set by those who want to pay him. And so that makes this difficult because teams that pay a lot of money want to pay Kyle Tucker.
Hello, San Francisco Giants. Just go ahead and write that down.
I mean, there's a lot of teams. So, you know, you have to factor that in. And that's why you can always say that it's not overpaying if somebody else is willing to pay. That's how I feel. It's not the NFL, you know? Like, that part of it to me stands. We have more to come here on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. We've missed charge. I'm sorry. The Cubs playoffs have jumbled up our guest rotation, and we've got a big game tonight, whether or not you want to admit it. So we're going to do some fantasy football talk with Paul Churchy, and that is coming up next on Raheem Harris and Grody on The Score.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.